So this morning we're going to continue with our series on the kingdom. And in part one, Mark shared with us the five faces of a New Testament church. And Chris shared, great to have you back, Chris and Susan. And Chris shared on the spirit of holiness in part two. And in part three, Mark told us about the kingdom the kingdom fortress, and how we live in a place of victory and what it is to be kingdom citizens. And then last week, Jess wonderfully walked us through what it is to live a life of worship and how we can respond to all that God is through our five e-graces. If you didn't pick up any of those, if you're on holiday like I was, please go online. The messages are posted there, and you can listen to them and dwell on them in your own time. So today, we're going to hit part five, and we're going to look at the Word of God. So to start, I want to ask you a question. Simple question. What does the Word of God mean to you? Is it the Bible? Depending on which translation you have, approximately 750,000 words written in a book. Is it Scripture, defined as the sacred writings of Christianity contained in the Bible? Perhaps it's a memory verse that you learnt, maybe at Sunday school, which you're able to recall when you need a word from God. Or maybe it's a word that's been given to you by someone to encourage you. Maybe it's all of these things. This morning, I'd like to share with you why the Word of God has become such an important source of truth and strength and joy for me, and why it's such an important resource for all of us every single day. We're going to look at Jesus, the Word that became flesh, to show us the kingdom of heaven. So my title is simply Jesus, the Word became flesh. So let's start with the first scripture that I have. I have plenty of scripture today. I tend to like to recount lots of scripture. Keeps me on the straight and narrow. Know that I'm speaking truth when I'm speaking scripture. Amen. So let's start with my sort of theme verse, if you like, which is John 1 and verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. This is a core truth that we absolutely have to understand if we are to accept the importance of the Word in our everyday lives. Jesus is the Word. He embraces the Word in every aspect of who he is. And he fulfills the Word in everything that he did. In Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets, or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And I've taken this from the message from 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. It says, "Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus." We sang about it this morning. His promises are yes and amen. You see, Jesus' ministry didn't start when he was 30 years old. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law and the promises that we see throughout the Bible. And he is the revelation of God's will concerning the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at John's gospel again a little more closely. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," that is Jesus, "and the Word was with God," that is Jesus was with God, "and the Word was God," that is Jesus was God. "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." And John uses the Greek word logos here, and it describe Jesus in the beginning, before creation and time as we know it had begun. Logos means word. But specifically, it means the spoken word or a statement. And Jesus is God's spoken word. John then explains to us that Jesus, the Word, was with God and was God. And this underlines the mystery of the Trinity. Jesus is God and existed from the beginning as God. And yet Jesus, his existence is somehow distinct from God the Father. Jesus was with God and was God at the same time. This is the mystery of the Trinity. All three persons in the Godhead are one God, and yet all are distinct from one another. In verse 3, John says that it was the Word, Jesus, that created all things. Genesis 1, right at the very first verse of the Bible and throughout Genesis, the creation we read in Genesis 1, teaches that the world was created by the spoken word of God. We have to note the repeating phrase, if you read it in Genesis 1, then God said. So when God the Father determined to create the world and everything in it, he spoke it into existence. And later, Jesus came in person to meet his creation. And as Jesus spoke his words to his disciples, he fulfilled the Father's purpose by providing a physical representation of the Godhead to his creation. Paul states this thought in Colossians 1, verse 15 to 16, when he says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Jesus is the Word because he was the means through which the Father brought all physical reality into existence. And because he is the one who represents the Father's invisible nature and character to that creation. Just as our words are the physical manifestation of our thoughts and our personality, Jesus is the Word of the invisible God to his creation. So, now we know how and why Jesus is referred to as the Word. We can look at why the Word is so important to us as children of that Word. This is clearly a huge topic. It could honestly take up a whole series. And probably more than a series. But for the purposes of today, I just want to focus on what I consider to be the most important gift that we receive from the Word, and that is simply revelation. Galatians 1, verse 11 to 12 says, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." And in John 14, verses 25 to 26, it says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And this is further underlined in John 16, verses 13 to 15, when Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." Again, another foundational truth for us. We do not receive the gospel or any of God's word just by listening to preaching or reading books. We receive it by the revelation from Jesus Christ, whom when he ascended to heaven, sent Holy Spirit to bring that revelation to us, to allow us to understand his word. Jesus underlines the importance of receiving revelation through the word in his parable of the sower, which we find in Matthew 13. I'm going to read the whole scripture because there's a number of really important points that come from it when we think about revelation that comes from the word. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Jesus replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his or her heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man or woman who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man or woman who understands, who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. In this parable, Jesus clearly sets out the difference between receiving the word without revelation and understanding and receiving the word with the revelation that comes through Christ. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're given Holy Spirit who opens our ears and opens our eyes so we can have understanding, and the soil on which his word falls is good. There are many lines of truth that can be drawn from this parable. And I'm sure that you've heard this parable used to bring truth about the kingdom of heaven in several different messages. I want to highlight that without spending time in the word, that is Christ, we can be like the path, the rocky places, and the thorns. We receive Holy Spirit to understand But if we do not use Holy Spirit, we will not gain that understanding. So I'm very proud. Cam's going to Sheridan College in a couple of weeks' time. He's going to study film and TV. And it occurred to me as I was preparing that if Cam goes to Sheridan and he doesn't attend the lectures and he doesn't open the textbooks that we're going to buy him, he's going to have to come and answer to me. But apart from that, when he comes to be tested on those things, he's going to struggle. He's not going to know what the subjects he's being tested on are about. And it's the same for us with the Word of God. We are truly blessed to have the Word of God put in writing in the form of the Bible. But if we never open the Bible, if we never spend time with Christ and Holy Spirit to bring revelation about that Word, about the Word, Jesus Christ, we're going to struggle. If we truly want to receive the message of the kingdom and produce a crop and be fruitful in our lives for Christ, we need to dig into His Word. We need to cultivate that soil. We need to be prepared so that when the seed falls, it will bear fruit. When we do this, we receive the revelation of the kingdom that comes through His Word. So finally, having established that Jesus is the Word that became flesh, and looked at why the revelation that we receive through Holy Spirit from the Word is so important to us as children of that Word, I want to bring this back to our series and the message about the kingdom. Jesus speaks of the kingdom throughout His ministry. In fact, that was the theme of His ministry. Matthew 4, verse 23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. I've often heard that people latch on to healing every sickness and disease among the people, but they don't often latch on to the fact that He was preaching the good news of the kingdom. And I believe that that's what He came to do first and foremost amongst us. So in Matthew 13, Jesus starts to teach in parables. Through chapter 13, He actually tells seven parables that all relate to the kingdom of heaven. The word parable comes from two Greek words, para and ballo, which together mean to throw alongside. A parable makes a comparison between a known truth and an unknown truth by throwing them alongside each other. Jesus starts teaching in parables at this time in His ministry because in chapter 12 of Matthew, we see for the first time that the Pharisees reject Jesus. They claim that Jesus is only able to drive out demons by Beelzebub, thereby rejecting His ministry and the miraculous signs that He is performing. Jesus then reveals more about the kingdom of heaven in chapter 13 through parables. And we come back to the scripture that I read about those seeing and understanding and those not seeing and not understanding. In teaching through parables, Jesus fulfills the words of Isaiah that we read that states, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. As Isaiah began his ministry, God told him that people would not comprehend his message. And the same response was now seen by Jesus in his ministry when the Pharisees rejected his authority over demons, over sickness, over the world. So the parables that Jesus used allowed him to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to his disciples, knowing that they would hear and understand, but many would hear and not understand. Later, that understanding was offered to all of us, all who would repent and be baptized, accepting Jesus as Lord. We see this in Acts 2, verse 36, where it says, Peter is speaking, and he says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And the great news for us today is that this understanding that comes through the Holy Spirit is available to us in exactly the same way. When we bend the knee, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives, we receive that revelation as we receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So let's look at the seven parables in Matthew 13. The first one is the parable of the sower. I'm going to come back to each of them, so don't worry too much. The next is the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And then we get the parable of the mustard seed, which lots of people seem to remember more than the others. The parable of the yeast comes next. And then we have the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl. And finally, the parable of the net. And these come one after the other throughout Matthew 13. Each of them reveal truths about the kingdom of heaven. Some of them, helpfully, are explained by Jesus to his disciples, and some are not. I'm not going to go through each parable today in detail, but I do want to give a summary of the truth about the kingdom of heaven that runs through all of them. In the Old Testament, the prophets talked about the Messiah coming to redeem Israel. Because they did not have the whole truth revealed to them, it was understood that this would be a single event in time, and that Israel, God's chosen people, would be beneficiaries of the Messiah establishing his kingdom on earth. Jesus came, and he revealed that what the prophets spoke under the old covenant was true and fulfilled in him. Jesus came and said, "The kingdom of heaven is near." He never said the kingdom of heaven has come. But the truth, that truth, that the kingdom of heaven is near, was rejected. The revelation that comes through Christ is that there will be a time between Christ's first coming and his second coming, at which time the kingdom of heaven will be established on earth. So although Christ is still the fulfillment of the prophecies given under the old covenant that we see in the Old Testament, the teachers of the law and many Jews could not accept that the Messiah must die, that he must be raised from the dead and come again, so that all people, not just the Israelites, could be reconciled to the Father when the Messiah comes again to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And Jesus says, "Many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see," his disciples, "but did not see it and hear what you hear, but did not hear it." They didn't have the revelation. They didn't have the level of understanding that Jesus was giving his disciples at that moment, and that we are blessed to be able to see today. The disciples were blessed because they were receiving a truth that had not been revealed before. So let's look at how Jesus reveals more of this truth about the kingdom of heaven through the seven parables in Matthew 13. Thank you. So in the parable of the sower, we find it reveals that a majority of those who hear the truth of the kingdom will not receive it. So the parable of the sower speaks of the seed that is widely spread, but much of that seed will not fall on ground that will bear fruit. The parable of the wheat and the weeds reveals that in this age, between Christ's first and second coming, the church will exist alongside those who reject Christ. And at the end of this age, Christ will send his angels, the harvesters, to separate the weeds from the wheat, the weeds to be burned, aka hell, and the wheat to come into his kingdom, or his barn, as he says in the parable. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast reveal that the good news of the kingdom, though small, when the church first started at Pentecost, will grow exponentially. So we remember the mustard seed becomes one of the largest trees in the garden, and the yeast works its way through all of the dough. You may well have read alternative interpretations of those two. Some of these parables, Jesus didn't give his full explanation of the parables. And so there is the ability to find different and alternative explanations. But this one makes sense to me. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl reveal that we should be willing to give up all that we have to receive the kingdom. It can't be purchased. It can only be gained by humbling ourselves to the King of Kings, ridding ourselves of our old selves, and being born again. And finally, the parable of the net. Similar to the parable of the wheat and the weeds, reveals that at the end of the current age, the angels will come and sort, literally, the good fish from the bad, the righteous from the sinners. And the sinners, the bad fish, will be discarded into the fiery furnace. Again, that is hell. So I hope today that you're left with a new desire, an increased desire, a need to spend time in the Word. When we spend time in the Word, we spend time with Jesus. Jesus is the Word, who was with God from the beginning, as part of the triune God. Jesus was instrumental in the creation of the world. God spoke, and through his word, that is Christ, the world was created. God then sent his word, that is Jesus, and the word became flesh, so that we might receive revelation of the kingdom of heaven and hear its truth. The word reveals to us that when Christ came, the Old Testament understanding of an earthly messianic kingdom was clarified to mean that the kingdom of heaven will be established on earth when Christ comes again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive eternal life. God loves us so much that he made a way for us to be with him in his kingdom for eternity. Yeah. This could only happen through the atoning, redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Christ therefore had to come into the world and be crucified, resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father until the end of the current age, and then he will come again. And with him, the kingdom of heaven will come down. And this is wonderfully captured in Revelation 21, which says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.'" This truth is given to us by the Word, that is Jesus Christ. We understand that Word by the revelation that comes by Holy Spirit. But we only get to understand when we spend time in the Word and with the Word. Through the Word, we receive the promise of eternity in His kingdom. I'd like to finish in prayer, if I may. Father, I thank you that the truths of your Word are borne out in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you that when we spend time in your Word, with your Word, we receive from your Word what we need every day. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is, and the revelation of your kingdom to come. And so, Lord, my prayer today is that we would leave this place with an increased desire to open the scriptures, to spend time in your word, praying to your Son, the Word, Jesus Christ, communicating with him so that we too might receive the revelation and the understanding of the Word that comes from Holy Spirit, who you so graciously sent when your Son ascended to his rightful place in the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here today has never accepted Jesus in their lives, Lord, I pray that they would come forward and speak to us, Lord. Speak to anybody gathered here about your wish to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life. If that is you, please feel free to come and speak to me, any of the elders, anybody in the church who professes Jesus as Lord and Savior. It would be a privilege to reveal something of the Word, Jesus Christ, to you, and let him be Lord and Savior in your lives.